Turn back to Psalm 146. Psalm 146. I was sitting there thinking as we were singing along with Mike. I don't know what all they are doing in glory at this time in His presence. And that's very real. But I do know they're praising Him. We know that. We know that those who have gone on to be with the Lord right now at this very time, they are praising Him. And I hope He gives us a little taste and ability to do that this evening. This psalm has been on my mind for the last two or three days. I tried to go back to Isaiah, but I couldn't get away from this. It's appropriate that the last five chapters of the Psalms ends with these praises. Praise ye the Lord. They're called the Hallelujah Psalms. Hallelujah. That's His name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Here's good instruction right here. We have good instructions tonight is to do this. If we don't do anything else, let us praise the Lord. I know that in this day, that word is so abused. But because it's abused doesn't mean we depart from it. And it's not an empty phrase that we use here. When we read this and when we speak of praising the Lord, it's not an empty phrase like I hear so much on TV when they just throw their hands up in the air and then the preacher will say, well, just praise the Lord. You know, that's so empty. They've so abused that. But there is a real praise of God from the heart of a believer to Him for all that He is and for all that He's done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise Him in His excellence. We praise Him, listen, as He is. Would you change God if you could? I would not want to change God Almighty in any way, shape, or form. But I do want this. I want Him to change me. I want Him to change me. I don't want a God. I do not want a God that I can change. I do not want a God that I can manipulate. We do enough of that with each other. I want a God who remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want a God who does His will among the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what are you doing? We praise Him in His excellence. Who can be compared to our Lord who has all power to execute His will? None can stay His hand. The Lord who is full of majesty and glory, we praise Him as such. We praise Him as such. And then we praise the Lord for His tender mercies. His mercies toward us are tender mercies, like that of a father to his children or a mother to her children. Tender mercies. It says in Psalm 103, He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Boy, let that sink down. Let this sink down. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Here we sit comfortably. We sit in a comfortable building. We have comfortable homes. God has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. Some of them He has now. I read to you Sunday that rich man who lifted up his eyes in torment. That's very real. That's not trying to scare somebody. That's very real. That's not a fairy tale to scare someone. That's real. But here we sit under the gospel, and God's given us faith in Christ. He's given us a good hope in Christ, and we praise Him for it. We praise Him for it because He's the one who's given it to us. We praise Him for His tender, tender mercies. His mercies, David says in Psalm 23, follows us. He said it followed him. And I tell you this, it follows us, listen, all the days of our lives. God's mercy has been on my trail since the day I was born. It's been on my trail before creation. Before He created the heavens and the earth, God's mercy was already after me. God's goodness, you know the hedge that God has around you? I don't know all about that, but I know some of it. Some of it is this. It's His goodness and mercy. Satan said about Job, "You've hedged him about. I can't touch him." God's hedged him about with His goodness and His mercy, just like He has us. And then we praise Him in the beauty of His holiness. I'm glad that God's holy. I'm glad our God is holy. There's none like unto our God. Our God is holy. You know what that is? You know what that means? God being holy, it ensures that He'll show mercy. God's holiness ensures that He'll show mercy to us in Christ. That's what it ensures. And then we praise Him for His election of us in Christ. Let other men complain about election. I heard a man preaching the other day. Wish I hadn't heard it. It just because it makes you want to combat that. Fighting against God's election. I'm so glad that God chose me in Christ. Jesus Christ was totally against everything that I am by nature. He's holy. He's light. I'm dark. I was darkness and sin and iniquity. And if He hadn't chose me, if He hadn't chose you, we would not fall in love with Him. You would not be attracted to Him. We would still find Him no beauty that we should desire Him. We'd still find Him that way if it were not for Him choosing us and calling us and bringing us by His grace. I'm thankful and I praise God. I praise God, and I have to say we praise God for His election of grace, that He chose us in Christ. It says, I read this, and I believe it was in Titus the other day. He says, "You were not appointed to wrath." Well, when I read this, it just struck me. "You have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation." God has not appointed you to wrath. You're not a vessel of. You are not a vessel of wrath, but a vessel of mercy. God could just have easily left me and made me a vessel of wrath. But He made us a vessel of mercy. And then we praise Him for all the spiritual blessings that He's given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Isn't it good to go somewhere, to show up someplace, and everything's provided? You didn't have to bring a thing. We don't have to bring one thing into God's presence in order for Him to be pleased with us or to accept us. He provided all of it, just like He did with Adam. Before He created Adam, He made all things ready, didn't He? Everything in the Garden of Eden was ready. Adam brought nothing into that garden. He provided nothing in that garden. God provided all of it. God made all of it. And then He made Adam. That's what He's done for us in Christ. He provided us all our spiritual blessings that we need to stand in His holy presence. We don't produce any of it. We don't bring any of it. He provided it all. And then we praise Him for providing the Lamb. Abraham's sons, Isaac said, "Father, where's the Lamb? Here's the fire and here's the wood. Where's the Lamb?" And Abraham, so taught of God, said, "Son, God will provide Himself the Lamb." And He did. He provided the Lamb and He provided Himself as the Lamb. And we praise Him for the blood of that Lamb that washes us from all our sins. You know, we can cleanse ourselves from a lot of things. We can get into dirt, there's a lot of grease, you know, filth. We can get into a lot of things. But we cannot. Absolutely cannot cleanse ourselves from one sin. We cannot cleanse ourselves from one sinful thought, let alone a deed. We can't even cleanse ourselves from the thought of sin. But His blood cleanses us, it says in the Scriptures, from all sin. All, no matter how deep the stain goes, His blood cleanses it. Oh, is that not something to praise Him over? Is that not something to lay down tonight and just give thanks and praise unto God Almighty? And then we praise Him for that righteousness that we so desperately need. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Without this righteousness, no man will stand in God's presence. And God Himself has provided us with that righteousness that He demands. He provided it in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise Him for it. We praise Him for it. And then we praise Him for becoming bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Just think who became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. The living God. Our Creator became a man. Our Creator took upon Himself flesh. He took upon Himself a real human soul. God did that. God Almighty did that. And we praise Him for it. I needed a man who knew no sin to take my place before God Almighty, to take my judgment and represent me. We have this man in the man, Christ Jesus. And we praise God for Him. We thank Him for Him. And we praise Him who rose again from the dead and ascended on high and led captivity captive, especially this captive. He loosed the prisoner. He set the captive free. I'm looking at some people who have literally been set free. We live in a country that we make a lot of freedom. We make a lot out of this thing of freedom. And I'm glad we do. But I'm telling you this. The only person who is truly free in the full sense of that word are those in Christ. They are truly free. One day we'll really experience the full freedom of that, but they are truly free. And we praise Him for His intercessory work for us. He intercedes for us. He prays for us. I asked a man one time, this is before I heard the gospel here, but I was religious. But I was hearing something. I was beginning to hear, in reading the scriptures, I was seeing some things and hearing some things. And I realized, I remember asking this person distinctly, I realized I need someone to pray for me more than me. And I asked this person, I said, you think it's wrong to ask the Lord to pray for you? He said, no, I don't. He intercedes for. I realized then that I need somebody to pray for me that was far greater than me. I need someone to pray for me that's far greater than what you just prayed here, Frank. We need someone who is seated at God's right hand calling upon God for it, praying for us. And I thank Him for it. I praise Him for it. And then we praise Him for faith, hope, and love. You believe God? Do you believe God? He gave it to you. Do you love God? We love Him because He what? He first loved us. He first loved us. Do you have a hope? Do you really have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? God gave it to you. God, a preacher didn't give it to you. Your parents didn't give it to you. You know, God gave this hope to us. He gave this hope to us in Christ. And then we praise Him for the trials that keep us running to Him. Oh, my goodness. We moan and groan. I do. Let me speak about myself. I moan and groan under just about everything. Trials come, whether they're little ones or big ones, that moan and groan. But you know that God sends those trials to cause us to run to Him, to cause us to lean on Him, to cause us to call upon Him. You know how little you'd really call upon God if He didn't send us those trials? For some reason, I guess just in us, we don't call too much when the sun's shining, do we? But boy, when the storms are coming over, then we call. He knows how to make us call. He knows how to make us call. And we praise Him for all the losses and the crosses. You know why? Because really they're gain. really their gain. If He takes something from me, if the Lord takes something from me, it's really a gain. It's not a loss. It may be an earthly loss, but it's a spiritual, heavenly gain. If He takes it from me, if it's necessary. Now you can see why He says, "Oh, praise you, the Lord. Oh, my soul," He says. "Oh, my soul." You know, praise really begins within if it's real and it comes out. And it's my soul. It's the very core of my being that praises God. It's not this outward thing of throwing your hands up and carrying on. I can praise God and not say a word. You can lay in your bed at night and just lay there and just praise God as loud as you can praise Him and not say a word. As much as you can praise Him and never have to say a word. Praise Him, oh my soul, because here's where it begins. Here's where real praise is. It's in my soul. And here's His resolve. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have, listen, any being. As long as I'm able to move a hair or a hand, He said, I have any being, I may be bedfast. Remember John Houston. You know, we lived with him for 4 years. That man praised the Lord. He praised the Lord. He couldn't get up and do much. He couldn't walk around. He couldn't do any of those things. But I tell you this, he could praise Him while he had any being. And he's sure doing it now. He's doing it now. While I live, he says, listen, it says over in Isaiah 38. Look over in Isaiah 38. In Isaiah 38, while I live, he says, I'll praise the Lord. Look in verse 17. Behold, for peace, he said, I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. Now listen, verse 19. The living, I remember this so well. Jack Shanks preached from this years ago. I can remember it so well. The living, he said, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Those who are spiritually alive, those whom God has given life to, they are the ones that praise thee. The dead don't praise thee. That's what he's saying. He said, while I live unto God, he said, I'll praise thee. While I have any being, without him, I wouldn't have any being. The Lord Jesus Christ made us. He created us for himself. We were not created for ourselves. He said, you're bought with a price. You're not your own. He not only created us, He made us. He bought us. He bought us. And without Him, we would not have any being or life at all whatsoever. It says in Colossians, all things were made by Him and for Him. And this is something that I want to get a hold of. I was made for the glory and praise of Jesus Christ. I wasn't made to just go through this life and hit retirement and then wait. I gotta be careful. Some of you retire. So what do you die? But that's not probably a good statement. But I'm just saying that's, you know, I've worked out here and people talk about wait until they get to retirement. Want to get to retirement. Here's what we wait for. We're waiting for Him to come. I'm not really waiting for retirement. I'm waiting for Him to come. Now, whether I'm 51 or 65 or 75 or 85, I'm waiting for Him to come. I'm not waiting to just hurry up and clock out and not have to go back there no more. Waiting for Him to come. Now, He says here in verse 3, Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help, there's no salvation. Put not your trust. No, you can trust men. You can trust one another. We can trust one another. But we don't put our trust in men or in things. We put our trust in God. There's a difference. You can trust those seats. You trust, you're sitting on them, aren't you? You trust they're going to hold you. But we put our trust in God. We put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He doeth all things well, that all things work out together for our good, because He overrules and controls all things. You know, if I had to have one of you all to do something for me, or I trust you to do it. But I put my trust in Him. He's the one who makes us faithful. I think if it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't be faithful at all. Put not your trust, he said, do not put your trust and confidence in princes, those who seem to be of a nobler and higher order than the common man. He said, don't put your trust in them. Don't put your trust in them. He is just as fallen. He is just as depraved as any son of Adam. Prince Harry and Prince, what's that other one? Was it Williams? Prince Williams? You know, they are just as depraved as I am. Actually, there's nothing any more royal flowing through their veins than my veins. They've got the same blood. He is made of one blood, all nations. Of all, so he said, don't put your trust in these princes who seem to be of a nobler character or something. He said, are just fallen men used of God. God put them in that position. God can make you a king if He wanted to. He can make anyone a king if He wants, if He wills. I hate to use that word, if He wanted to. If He willed to. Don't be fooled by men's appearance or power or birth. Don't be fooled by it. That's what he's saying. It's all depraved. It's all bad. All of it is. If you put your trust in those things, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed. And not in the Son of Man. It is any man. You know, I've never met a prince. Someone who's actually supposed to be some earthly prince, has some royalty about him. I've never met one. But I've met some men I've had a lot of confidence in. I've met men, but he says here, nor the Son of Man, that is, any man. He's saying this, do not put your trust, your confidence, in any man for salvation. Any man, any religious man, any social man, any man, don't do that. There's no salvation from sin, death, and hell in any son of Adam. Not at all. When it comes to forgiveness of sins, when it comes to pardon, when it comes to justification, there's no help in any way, shape, or form in my parents or in my preacher. It's only in Christ. The man Christ Jesus. That's who you put your confidence in. That's who you put your hope in. That's who you build your hope and trust and confidence in. You know, trust is another word for confidence. That's who you put your confidence in. The Lord Jesus Christ. This belongs to Christ and Christ only. And no one else. And here's the reason why we don't do this. Here's why we don't do it. In verse 4. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that day his thoughts perish. Oh, what weakness. Is there anything really weaker than us? Is there anything weaker than flesh? His breath, it says, goes forth. You know how long your life is? It's one breath. It's just a breath. It's just a breath. That's what it is. We take one breath and we live. We let it out. We take another breath. I tell you what, don't take it. We'll be carrying you out of here tonight if you don't take it. Take the strongest man in the world, the richest man in the world, the most powerful man in the world. Put your hand over his mouth and see how long he lives. Isn't that weak? Breath. Breath. So weak. Our life, Job said, is but a vapor. That's all it is. And note where he goes. To his earth. That's what's to his earth. It's called his earth because he's made from the dirt of it. Boy, I tell you, the Scripture's plain, isn't it? The Scriptures don't talk about man in flowery terms. It goes to his earth, what he was made from. God did not make Adam from silver or gold or precious stones. Adam, you were made from the dirt of the ground. That's what he did. He made him from the very dust of the ground. And the very ground that he was brought from is going to swallow him up. The very earth that he came from, and one day is going to open her mouth and swallow him up. That's why you don't put your trust and confidence in man. Man's not going to go to a palace. Man's not going to the happy hunting ground. He's going to wake up one day in torment. Those who are outside the ark. Those who are outside of Christ. That's his. He's going, he says, to his earth. His breath goes forth and he's buried. He's buried. I don't care what he's done in his life. He's buried. And when this day happens, when God lays him in the dirt, it says that very day, his thoughts perish. Whatever he's working on, whatever he was thinking about, stops. It just stops. It's over. Oh, how nothing those things become which were once greatly thought of and sought after when the earth swallows him up. God brings all thoughts, and He will bring all inventions of men to absolutely nothing when He lays them in the ground. When He brings them back to nothing. When He brings them to, from dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. If any man or any woman, if their hopes are in a man, I don't care if it's in a man, if it's a preacher, or if it's a church, or what it's in. If it's in anything but Christ, if it's in anything but the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to be greatly, greatly disappointed. Greatly disappointed. But happy! Now let's get on to a better subject. You have to wade through this muck and mire to get sometimes to the good news. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Whose hope, now he's getting to a hope, whose hope, whose expectation is in the Lord his God. Here is a real abiding happiness now. If you really want real abiding happiness, if you want real abiding hope and real abiding help, here it is. The God of Jacob. He's very real, you know. The God of Jacob. Why is this so? Because the God of Jacob is the eternal God. If you'll remember back in Isaiah, Nebo, those gods that they had made, the Babylonians had made, he said, they're nothing. God said, I'm going to bring them down. They're nothing. But the God of Jacob is the eternal God. No one made him. He made all. He made all. He is the God who has all power to save. I read this, I believe it was over in the Psalm I opened up with. In verse 5 of Psalm 147, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite, unsearchable. But His power to save is infinite. It's great and it's infinite. Unsearchable. when He says to those dry bones, live, what happened? Every last one of them lived. Every last one of them stood up, it said, and became an exceeding great army. Now, I could have stood out there all day long and said, live, and nothing would happen. But God just speaks one time in power and says, live, and they live. And that's exactly what happens when God saves a sinner. He speaks in power the gospel, and He says, live. And that sinner lives. He's God of all power. And He's the God that justifies. You know, there's not one person, not anything else or anyone else that can justify you but God, who's judge of all. And He can do it and still be God. He can be a just God and a Savior through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can do that. And He's God, and beside Him there's none else. And listen, His thoughts of me, David said this in one place, that His thoughts of us could not be reckoned up in order. And His thoughts of me shall not perish. My thoughts, when I die, or the natural man dies, our thoughts, as far as this earth and all these things going on, they perish, they stop. His thoughts of me never perish. His thoughts of me never stop. They are never, and this is, can't comprehend this. His thoughts of me, His thoughts of every one of His children, are never interrupted. They're never even interrupted. His thoughts of His children, I mean not just collectively, but individually. Individually, they are uninterrupted thoughts of His children. We can't even think of our own children like that. As much as we love our children, we cannot think upon them with an uninterrupted thought. But He does. He does. And those whose hope is in His is in the Lord, His God, will never be put to shame. They'll never be found guilty in that day. You won't be found guilty. The God of Jacob never changes. That's why He said, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. It's not because I straightened up. I do enough, believe me, I do enough to still be consumed. There's enough combustible stuff in me to burn me up every day. But He says, because I don't change. My love to you, my mercy to you, my unfailing mercy to you, my goodness to you changes not. And when this man dies, when this man dies in the Lord, and we've seen some do it, listen, he doesn't go to his earth. He goes to his God. He goes to his God. He doesn't go to his earth. He goes to his God. And look here at His power in verse 6, and I'll move along here. Which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Just in case you doubt anything, just in case you have a little glimmer of a doubt that he can pull you through this, he says this, He made heaven and earth. You think you're a challenge for God? Look what He made. Look what He made. He made heaven and earth. And all that there is in it. And that includes me. He made me too. You know, this is how the prophets of old spoke of God. They always identified Him as the Creator. Always identified Him as the one who created heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is. The one who made all of this, He says, is God. And He's our God. He's our God. He has the power to execute His will. He's no mere man at all whose thoughts perish, but He's one who will establish His counsel and do all His good pleasure. He has the power to do it. He made heaven and earth. It's all His. If the God you hope in did not make all this, then He's no God at all. But if He made all of this, He's God. He's God. And He says here, which keepeth truth forever. It's impossible for God to lie. It's Scripture tells us this. Has He not said, and shall He not do it? Did He not say, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest? Shall He not do it? He'll do it. He cannot lie. He cannot. None of His promises can fail. He keepeth truth forever. When you and I are gone, in a little while, you and I will be gone. The truth will still be here. Why? Because He keeps it. And He's given it us as stewards over it, and we preach the gospel, and we contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. But I'm telling you this, it's God who keeps it. We're really just weak vessels. We're clay pots. Clay pots, cracked ones at that. But He keeps truth forever. When our grandchildren and children grow up, our confidence is this. He keeps the truth. And by His mercy, He'll bring it and bring them under the sound of it, and they'll hear it, and He'll grant them faith. Our confidence is that He'll keep the truth, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. We do suffer in this world. We are oppressed, but He assures us this, that He will do right. He says He will do right. He will deliver His children out of trouble, and He'll bring the oppressors into trouble. He'll deliver us out of it and them into it. And He says here, which giveth food to the hungry. I know this. If you came here hungry tonight, He'll feed you. He'll feed those who are hungry. Those who are hungry and thirst after righteousness, He said, they shall be filled. The Lord looseth the prisoners. Men, Satan, and religion loose no one. And once they get you in their clutches, they're not going to let you go. They loose no one. But whom the Lord sets free, that man, that woman is free indeed. He looses the prisoners, and He looses them from sin. He looses them from the curse of the law, the thing that holds them prison. He looses them from Satan. He looses them from themselves. God says, set them free. I have found a ransom in my son. Set him free. Let this prisoner go free. I found a ransom. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. Who gave you sight? The Lord said, Peter, who do men say that I am? Some say, well, you're a prophet. Some say you're Elijah. Some John the Baptist. Some this, some that. And He said, who do you say I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. My Father which is in heaven revealed this to you. He revealed it. He gives sight to the blind. He's the one that does it. The Lord raises them that are bowed down with sin and sorrow and guilt. He's the one who raises them up in Christ. He's the one who gives them sight and enables them to behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And enables them to stand up again. Enables them to, those that are bowed down with all this guilt and shame. If you know what it is, you know what I'm talking about. Bowed down with it. And He enables you to look to Christ. And He enables you to find some relief in Him. The Lord preserveth the stranger. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked He turns upside down. He's the one who preserves the strangers. That's what we were. Strangers from the covenants of promise. Strangers from God. Strangers. But not no more. Now He says, you're fellow citizens and saints of the household of God. He preserved us. He preserved us in Christ. Before the world began. He's preserved us strangers. Now we're strangers to the world. But we're not strangers to Him. He relieves the fatherless. And you know how He relieves them? He relieves them with this truth. You're not fatherless, and you're not a widow no more. I'm your father, and I'm your husband. That's how He, with the truth of it. But the wicked, He turns upside down. They think they're going the right way. Yep. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? They honestly believe they're going the right way. Only to find out, when it's over with, they was on the wrong road. The road that they are on is broad and easy to travel. It's worn smooth because many, many have gone that way before. Surely, they think, surely, so many can't be so wrong. But they are. That's why it's a broad road. There's many on it. It says this in Job 6:20. Sometime you get time, write this down, you go back and look at it. They will be confounded because they had hoped. When they die, I mean, the Lord said they'll stand there, they're going to say, we preached in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We did many mighty works in your name. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And they're going to stand there confounded because they had hoped that they was all right. They had hoped in their works. They had hoped in their own righteousness. And then when they stood before Him, they were confounded because He says, depart from me. I never knew you. A terrible thing. But here in verse 10, I close. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. This is the greatest news that I could give to God's children, to Zion. The Lord reigneth forever. We can leave here tonight with some comfort. We can leave here tonight with some joy, with some praise on our hearts, because the Lord reigneth forever. No overthrow of His power. No end to His glorious kingdom. No end. There's an end to this. You know that. You know, we constantly, even those who don't know the gospel, they're constantly looking to the end. They know they're going to die. They know there's an end. But there's no end to this one. Can you imagine what it will be? To be somewhere, to be in such glory, in such majesty, and to know there'll never be an end to that. You ever enjoy something so much you wish today would just stop? There have been a few times I've enjoyed something so much, I wish it could just go on and on. The Lord will reign forever. No end to His glorious kingdom. Is this not worth praising Him over? Is not what we've heard tonight worth singing praises unto Him? Okay, Mike.